Our boss brought up this thing again where he wants a specialized Brian Jones college football segment on the program. He wants a specific, he said in his words, a cute name for it. Cute named Brian Jones college football segment. So, you know, we do Jones on the phones. We do that for you getting inside information when you put your reporter hat on. We do that. So it can't be Jones on the phones. But I figured we'd elicit the opinions of our great audience on Twitter and figure out exactly what this could be. Because last year he asked us about it, and I was like, we talk about stuff like we talk about stuff. Like,
Thank you.
I was like, yeah. I don't even... I'm not saying we're going to do this 100%, but we'll at least give it a shot. So I'm like, do we need to have a special little quirky, stupid, cute segment like everybody else does? It's not what we do.
Bob Jones.
So, you know, that's the way I felt about it. And then it went away and say anything about it. And they brought it up again this year. It's like, we really need to do it. You didn't do it last year. You really need to do the special, cute Brian Jones college football segment. So, like, you know, part of me is like, well, I mean, what am I, just like an operator here? What am I, just plugging in the things? Like, I'm just going to sit here and this listener says this, and like, I kind of got a little bit offended by it, to be honest. But I'm like, all right, you know, we'll give this a shot. We'll give it a shot. We'll try to figure it out what the cute Brian Jones football segment is. So Mikey B is going to tweet out the question at Gio and Jones on Twitter, and if you can think of something, you know, put it out there, and we'll see if we can work on that. You know, I'm thinking like, you know, probably questions. Like, we'll do a segment, questions from the audience, like maybe climbing the Jones Mountain, maybe like that, where you go and you have, you know, the maybe like trivia questions or something like that for Brian. Can you stump Brian Jones or something along those lines?
Brian Keith Jones.
or we could do that, or try to make Brian angry with your college football take. We could try to do that. Climbing Mountain Jones. Climbing Jones Mountain.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Get all up in that thing. Yeah.
That's going to be a good name in a second. Get up all in that college football thing.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because, like, I feel like our boss knows us, right? I feel like our program director, Eric Spitz, he knows us. And he knows us well enough to not suggest cheesy benchmark segments to us, but he still did, like, which is kind of surprising. So I don't know. Do you have any ideas, Brian? I mean, it's your thing. It's your segment.
I have no ideas. And he better attach a sponsor to it so we can get paid, since he's forcing this upon us.
We could say no, right? I mean, it's like, yeah, like we could fight back if we wanted to. I mean, the thing is, I feel like we could still fulfill all the college football talk we need without doing the cheesy
right
segment.
I was going to say that. We do that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the pertinent things that are happening, the significant things that are occurring, we touch on those. So if there's something off the wall that the listeners want to pose, we're all for that. But yeah, I don't know about a particular name.
Which one?
Yeah, I like get all up in that thing.
Get up all in, or anyone
get
here.
Get all up in that thing.
Somebody just called with Jones has the stones.
Jones has the stones. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm a hoe.
Yeah. Whoa.
No, I don't think "yeah, I'm a hoe" is going to work, Pete.
No.
It's probably, we're talking,
college football hoe?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm a college football hoe. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for "yeah, I'm a college football hoe." Give us a call. Brian's promiscuity through the world of college football.
I love college football. All of it.
He loves everybody.
Many, many moons ago.
Oh, the many, many moons ago segment. We could do that. Like this date in college football history. Many, many moons ago with Brian Jones. Well, Greg, on this day, Bear Bryant. Any other catchphrases, Brian Jones? Catchphrases we could use?
Pistachios?
Hunker down.
No. Pistachios.
Hunker down and take it.
Hunker down. And, you know what? That might be a good one too. like a jackass in a hailstorm, right?
Hunker down and take it.
You got to hunker down and take it. So maybe that's
like... So you have to hunker down and take my point of view.
Right. Like, that would be... This is so bad. I can't take it. But, like, that would be, like, the guy you're criticizing the most, right? Like, hunker down and take this, Lane Kiffin. You know, or something like that. Oh, man.
Let's work on that one. Yeah. Maybe on to some.
Fun show.
The fun show. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I just don't want to do that stuff. It's just like, oh, there's this production. And like, now it's time for, boo. You know, because we're not creative and funny enough on our own. We have to create this built-in segment to fill time.
Ugh. Yeah, have to manufacture something. Ugh. We don't do that.
I don't know. I feel like everybody knows you're kind of a college football guy, but I guess that's
what... Abdul Smith?
Oh, no.
Are you in or are you out with teams in the top four?
Oh, no. That's already done by
the
show.
Oh, my bad.
That's already done. Nerd alert. We could dust that one off.
What spawned this?
I think we found some. What spawned this?
What spawned this?
That voice.
That is a great...
What spawned this?
This.
Like I'm some professor with a sweater vest on.
And the lisp.
She went, what spawned this?
What spawned this?
With a monocle. Legs crossed.
Yeah.
What spawned this, young chap?
Yeah, like a bad play call. That's what you could do, like the worst play call. What spawned this?
What spawned this?
What spawned this? Tom Herman?
All right, so those hunker down and take it. What spawned this? And...
Get all up in that thing!
Get up. Wait, I
get
can't...
Get all up!
Get all up, not get up. Get that, all up in that thing.
Yeah.
All right. All right, those are the three. Those are our working titles right now. Those are the ones we'll try to flesh those out. We'll sit around.
Sex?
No. There's plenty of that happening in college football, but we it's probably not going to be our segment. But we'll brainstorm. We'll get together. We'll flesh those out, and we'll come up with that special Brian Jones football segment.
Ah! Should we do it at the 40s?
Oh no. I mean, I just can't. We'd be compromising ourselves so much, would we not? I mean, I feel like we fight against that stuff all the time.
This.
My favorite still is what spawned this, I think. I mean, the other two are good, but what spawned this?
What spawned this?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for What Spawned This? Featuring college football expert Brian Jones. Well, Brian.
You spit all over yourself.
Yeah.
Which team spit all over itself this week?
Brian asked the best coaches in college football, what spawned this?
What spawned this?
You just like Nick Saban, be like, what? What spawned what? What the hell are you talking about, man? What spawned this? it's got potential, man. It's got potential. Feeling good. Imagine, we got to pitch that because our boss is on vacation. So that's why I'm more comfortable doing this now than I would be if he was here, to be totally honest. But when he comes back, we got to pitch it like for real. But Mikey B's got to do it. So, did you? This that's the impression of our boss. That's the way he sounds. He'll say, did you think about that Brian Jones, special Brian Jones segment?
Glad you asked. Boss put in hours and hours of time. We came up with a great idea called What Spawned This?
What Spawned This?
Oh, okay. How does that work?
This.
I'll screen the callers. Greg will intro them, and then Brian will go like this.
And then I could see his response go, you spent hours on this, and this is the best you could come up with?
This is all I got.
You need a Kleenex to get that spittle off of you?
I feel bad for DA, man. I spit all over this microphone today.
Oh.
I should give him a Clorox wipe.
Yes, you should. Leave him one.
I'll say here, DA, take this.
All right. Dennis Dodd talked to a bunch of college football head coaches about smoking weed. So it says
this ought to be interesting.
Right. Should marijuana be legalized nationwide? 52% said no of the so he spoke to 1/5 of the 130 active coaches. I don't know why they don't just give us a number. But it's
one-fifth of the 130 active coaches leading FBS teams.
Yeah, like, why don't you just give us a number? Why does that have to be 1/5 of 130?
Yeah, 20.
I mean, geez. So anyway, 52% of the 1/5 said no, shouldn't be legalized. 35% said yes, and 13% said no opinion, which is a cop-out. I mean, come on, you have an opinion on it.
Right.
Should college athletes still be tested and suspended for marijuana use? 74% said yes.
Wow.
18 said no, and 8 said no opinion. And then there was the explain yourselves section.
What's fun to this?
One of the explain yourselves, and these are all nameless, faceless coaches.
Of course they are.
Said, no, it should not be legalized. I think it's a gateway drug.
Yeah, whatever.
And I've got kids right now in my team state. Marijuana and opiates are a bad, bad killer.
You got to be kidding me.
I know. Come on.
It is not a gateway drug.
It's not a killer either.
All those prescription drugs you have in your training room, those are gateway drugs.
Yeah.
Gosh. And I don't know anyone that's overdosed smoking weed.
Yep. Or
no one.
Right. I mean, you get a couple guys falling asleep in their car, whatever. But I mean,
hanging out with Brandon Chicken.
Yeah, you don't. You don't see a lot of violence. You don't see a lot of weed violence. Weed inspired violence. And to compare it with opiates is a totally different deal, man. Like, come on.
Oh man, apples and oranges.
Yeah. Let's see. Another guy said, absolutely, they should be tested. A lot of times, these things are established before you ever meet these kids. When a kid has never done it before college, usually I can correct it if it's a learned behavior. But when he's out 12 years old smoking with Uncle John and Cousin Rudy, it's deep-rooted. If I let you do this, I'm setting you up for failure. Right now, the two organizations that say you can't smoke are the NFL and the NCAA. You're involved in one drug, and you want to be in the next one. I really believe marijuana is a gateway drug.
Oh, gosh.
What is this? Health ancient class thinking. In 1975?
Right, exactly.
I mean, with a game.
Ancient history thinking right there.
Jeez. Next one. I've really come to the conclusion that what is socially acceptable is so different than the rules in our game. It doesn't fit. My daughter has told me there's more marijuana stores than McDonald's, she said.
In certain states.
Yeah.
That may be true, and McDonald's is loving it because they are buying up all those McNuggets.
yeah, they are. Well, it's too bad we don't have a McDonald's endorsement because you just nailed their catchphrase right there. I was watching a comedy special of Bill Burr, the comedian Bill Burr, and he goes, McDonald's is for kids and drunk people. it's like to shut your kids up and to go somewhere when you're hammered.
Yeah.
Because it's open and the stuff tastes good. Here's another one. A guy's mind doesn't stop forming until he's 26. If he's smoking a lot, it can change. We have to figure out what it does to our minds. I mean, these guys are so archaic.
Yeah, you're stuck in a time warp.
Yeah.
No one's sitting here saying force kids or suggest that they do this. We're just saying it's too punitive, the laws that are on the books these days, and the fact that it's changing around this country as far as the laws, and it's being legalized in so many other different states that you got to come to grips with that. And it's not cut from the same cloth as some of these other drugs. Not even close.
Whoever said this next one, I want to meet. I want to know who this is. And it's obviously a guy. It's probably a guy I've heard of. It's one of the 130 head coaches in FBS. But he says, I think it's going to be legalized soon. I have come full circle as a man on that. We lose a lot of money. We're helping the cartels grow by not legalizing it.
Boom.
Boom is there right. It is.
There it is.
There's an informed individual.
Thank you.
There you go. So anyway, this Dennis Dodd article is interesting. You can go to CBSSports.com. I'm kind of down on Dennis, though, because of the story you told me where he was disparaging some of the Last Chance U kids, and I have a totally opposite take on that. He didn't have the flattering things to say about some of these guys.
I'm sure a lot of it that are in his corner, and there are some in yours. So the different ways to view it, I choose to view it the way you viewed it. And a lot of things these young men are unfortunately have to deal with at a very young age, and it's not drugs. It's just these environments in which they are reared, and it's unfortunate. And then that stuff manifests itself and the behavioral issues you witness later on.
Yeah, well, some of them is. It is drugs because Chauncey Rivers, I believe his name is, who went from Georgia to the Last Chance U at East Mississippi, then I believe he's at Mississippi State now. He had actually been in jail three times for weed, which is insane.
For weed, yeah.
I know, three times. So just
so you go to jail for weed, but the opiate crisis, we want those folks to go to rehab.
Right. I mean, you can
see the disparity in the laws. See how we apply them unfairly?
Yeah, I know.
And weed, bad thing. You're going to go to jail. Opiates, oh, okay, where folks are actually really dying from this particular drug. No, we're going to just give you rehab.
Coming up next, Booger McFarland joins us. We'll get another Brad Heller update. Plenty more on the docket. Don't go anywhere.
Tiki and Tierney have Guns N' Roses tickets. Listen weekdays between 3 and 6 Eastern for your chance to win exclusively on CBS Sports Radio.
Brad Heller is here with another sports update. Welcome back, Brad. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? Well, the Dodgers keep reaching new heights. Now the first team in 13 years to hit 50 games over 500.
Here's a 3-1. Seager lines a base hit into left field, and the hits just keep on coming. Peterson scores. Throw to the plate, so does Barnes. The Dodgers explode for 5 in the bottom of the 8th.
Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers Radio Network, L.A., 84-34 after beating the White Sox at home 6-1. Meanwhile, Giancarlo Stanton did it again. He homered for a 6th straight game, but the Marlins still lost to the Giants 9-4. Manager Don Mattingly says Stanton is locked in.
I think what he's doing has been just incredible. It just seems like every night and anytime he's up there, even you know the single to left the first time up, he's right on a lot of balls. Obviously very dangerous right now.
And Stanton continues to lead the majors. He's got 44 home runs. Elsewhere, the Red Sox turned to triple play and then scored 8 runs in the 5th inning on the way to a 10-4 win over the Cardinals at Fenway. Boston stays 4.5 games ahead of the Yankees in the AL East. The Yankees beat the Mets 5-4, but Aaron Judge did strike out for the 32nd straight game. That ties Adam Dunn's major league record for position players.
Hook 'em horns.
There you go.
Adam Dunn.
All right.
Longhorn.
All right. In the NL
THC.
Well, I'm never going to live that down, am I?
No,
I didn't even think it was. I didn't even think there was any. Certainly, wasn't trying to do that. But there you go.
Just do the damn update. How about that?
All right. In the NL Central, the Cubs lead both the Cardinals and the Brewers by 1.5. Cubs lost to the Reds 2-1. Brewers topped the Pirates 3-1. Tigers second baseman Ian Kinsler told reporters Angel Hernandez, quote, needs to reevaluate his career choice. I'm surprised at how bad an umpire he is. Hernandez ejected Kinsler yesterday's game against the Rangers. Texas won it 10-4. LeBron James took a private jet to New York yesterday for some pickup ball with Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant. Then he flew back to Ohio, where he made headlines at his charity event, referring to Donald Trump as the, quote, so-called president of the United States while addressing the violence in Charlottesville. Guys?
Thanks, Brad. Joining us right now, Booger McFarland, college football and NFL analyst for ESPN. Booger, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm outstanding. Top of the morning, guys.
Yes, top of the morning to
my
you
man.
As well. Before I get into some of the football stuff, I do want to get your take. We opened up the show talking about how we wish that more people in the media didn't feel the need to not express their opinions on some of the things that go on in this country, in the sports media especially. It seems like there's a lot of talk show hosts and sports talk people that, you know, would rather skirt around the issue or talk about something else as opposed to addressing it. You, as a former black athlete, someone who has a high-profile media position now, where do you stand on addressing social issues when you get that precious airtime?
Well, first of all, I'm still black today. I'm not former black.
Okay. athlete. I'm sorry. You know what I meant.
Hey, well, Gio, I saw him in Birmingham. He is still black.
No, I knew that. Former athlete. There you go.
Yeah. Sometimes people take things very literally, but I think you should be able to speak on your platform. I mean, especially now. I mean, if you think about these guys, regardless of your political affiliation, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, I like good people. And I think the thing that's bothering this country right now is a lot of people think that the guy that's president is just not a good person. And I think that's the biggest issue. So whether you have a disagreement with that, or you have a disagreement with what's going on with Colin Kaepernick, we live in America. You should be able to voice your opinion. And I think Jonesy knows me better than anybody on the phone right now. I voice my opinion, man. I mean, if there's an issue, I'll voice it. And I definitely agree with LeBron with what he said. I agree with Kaepernick. Everybody's talking about Kaepernick's hair and him kneeling down or sitting down, but nobody's addressing the real issue. And that's the fact that unarmed blacks and minorities continue to get killed at an alarming rate, and nobody does nothing about it. Like, that's the real issue, and I support those guys.
Cool. Well said. Let's discuss some football stuff. You're in the crosshairs of the Volunteers, Tennessee Volunteers again. You made a comment about Butch Jones. You didn't think he could get them over the hump, back-to-back 9-4 seasons. So you see him in the same light as, say, and I'm going to reference basketball here, Doug Collins with the Chicago Bulls, Dale Harris with the Los Angeles Lakers, and Phil Jackson came in and got both of those squads over the hump. And even more recently, Mark Jackson at Golden State, now Steve Kerr has won two titles leading that bunch. So you don't think Butch Jones is the guy to get them to a SEC conference championship?
Well, here's what I say. I mean, Butch Jones had, I think, his best team last year. He had 18 starters back, and they still couldn't get it done. So if you're a logical-thinking guy like I know you and I are, Jonesy, I mean, what gives him any credence that he's going to do it this year? He's replacing 17, 18 starters, new quarterback. Those bookend defensive ends are gone. And now Butch Jones wants us to believe that this is Tennessee's year. And, you know, sometimes as a coach, man, you got to give Butch his credit, first of all. He came in, he basically brought Tennessee back to where they are now. Now, are the Tennessee faithful happy with where they are? Are they happy with being an 8-9 win team? Or do they want to take an opportunity or take a chance to get to 10 or 11 wins? I don't know if Butch can get you to 10 or 11 wins, because in order to do that, he's got to compete and win the SEC championship. I don't know if he can do that. Butch may be a coach, and I think this year is going to be a big year. He doesn't have all those starters. What's he going to do this year? Because I think if he goes 8-4, 7-5, it's going to be a lot of rumblings. And I think this is a huge year for Butch Jones, not because I think his team is going to be great, but it's going to be the first time, I think, that realistically, if he doesn't post a really good record, there are going to be some serious considerations about his job.
Gio and Jones with Booger McFarland, who is still black. We just learned that for those who are wondering across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Another guy who's been rumored to be on the hot seat, and it's not fresh news, is Kevin Sumlin. Do you think this is going to be his last year at Texas A&M?
Well, when your boss comes out and says you got to win, that tells me you better win. And first and foremost, let's define winning. To me, winning is not 8 games. If you're Texas A&M and you've spent $400 million on a new stadium renovation, you got a helicopter that you fly around Texas and recruit guys with, you got all the bells and whistles, you got a barbershop in your locker room, then 8 wins is not good enough. They're going to have to win 10 or 11 games. Kevin Sumlin, since he's been there, has underachieved. He's done a phenomenal job recruiting. But those recruits haven't translated on the field as far as talent and wins. And so I think this is a huge year. And guys, it's not me saying that. When his AD says he has a win, that's all I need to hear.
Correctamundo there. Hey, Auburn, Kevin Steele last year. He was in my crosshairs because when he was leading your LSU Tigers defense that one year, they regressed. So you look at his track record, not just there, but at Clemson, also at Baylor as a head coach. And so I didn't have a lot of faith in him. But that defense played lights out, only gave up about 17, 18 points per game. Do you think they can do that again with the pieces they lost, Lawson, Adams on the defensive line, and now with a quarterback who can actually hit a wide receiver?
Yeah, because I think Jonesy this year, he did something that he probably should have did at LSU. He kind of simplified things until guys got the hang of it. Well, the latter part of last season, when they got the hang of it, Auburn's defense played really, really well. He has a lot of returning guys back up front. He's got some depth in the trenches, which is where you have to have it in the SEC. And more importantly, I just think he's more comfortable now at Auburn in year two. You couple that with Jared Stidham, you couple that with that running game, I honestly think there's really one chief competitor to Alabama in the SEC, and it's Auburn. And I just pray that the SEC West comes down to the Iron Bowl that'll be played in Auburn this year. To me, that'll be the best that we can hope for in the SEC.
Let's talk a little LSU. Back a couple weeks ago at SEC Media Days, Ed Orgeron made it a point to say, I'm a little bit more relaxed. I understand as a full-time head coach, I have to act a little bit differently. What do you think of that new Coach O approach, and do you think he can sustain that?
Well, I mean, Coach O is Coach O, man. He's a player's coach. He's fiery. He's emotional. He's going to be him. The key for him is, can he motivate? Can he recruit? Can he get this team to be their best on Saturdays? There's no doubt in my mind they have the right coordinators. When you look at Matt Canada, you look at Dave Aranda, I don't know if there's a better pair of OC and DC in the country. Like, when you put them together, I think if there's a better one, that there's definitely not two. And so I think if you're Coach O, you've done all you can do right now. His job is going to make sure is to make sure his guys are ready to play every Saturday. And if he can do that, LSU, like, their floor is probably 8-9 wins. Their ceiling, depending on how Danny Etling plays, is 11 or 12 wins.
Ole Miss, the fallout from the hypocrite Hugh Freeze, Mr. Bible Belt himself, not living up to everything he's tweeting out to everybody else. Do you think they overcome that fallout? I like this young quarterback, Shea Patterson, and I think that defense is going to be much better having dealt with all the injuries, especially on the back end a season ago.
No, Jones, they're going to be terrible this year. Like, Shea Patterson will put up some points. Greg Little at left tackle is special. They got some freaks at wide receiver. But if you're going to tell me that this team is going through everything they're going through right now, it's going to be legitimate, I'll probably pass on that. Like, last year, their defense was supposed to be pretty good, and it was terrible last year. So what gives you any credence to think that a year removed from that, with all the stuff going on around your coach, with all the sanctions, that now you're going to be a better team? I honestly think that the SEC West comes down to Alabama, Auburn, maybe LSU. Other than that, I think the rest of the teams are just kind of playing for 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th place.
No, I'm with you on Auburn. I got Auburn in the playoffs, so I agree that it may come down to that, but I don't think Ole Miss will be as bad as things seem
now.
The
Ole Miss is going to be terrible, man. Come on now. Don't
All right, we'll have a gentleman's wager on that one.
Hey, I love a steak dinner.
I'm with you. Cool. It's done. I already owe Gio three of them, I think.
Yeah, you do. You're going to come out on top of this one, Booger. Trust me. He never wins it.
I like it.
So, before you came on, we were talking about an article that Dennis Dodd wrote on CBSSports.com about he was talking to a ton of coaches about marijuana testing in the NCAA, and we always talk about the NFL and how punitive we think these it is to be caught with marijuana in the NFL. Do you think that the NCAA should be testing and the NFL should be testing still for marijuana use of both football players and both college football and pro football still?
Absolutely, man. Until you tell me that marijuana is legal in all 50 states and you tell me that the commissioners in the NFL and the head of the NCAA say it's okay, then it's against the rules. So that's the thing that I go by. And, you know, sometimes, man, like we can fall into this trap of conforming to society now and wanting to be part of this millennial generation that everybody wants to be cool and smoke weed. Whatever happened to good old morals, man? Like, good old morals. If your kid or my kid was walking down the street smoking weed, we'd almost knock the hell out of them. But now, all of a sudden, we're asking questions on the radio, do we want to allow kids to smoke weed? Like, where are our morals at? And for me, I'd say not only no, I'd say hell no, just because I honestly think that, number one, from a moral standpoint, and number two, from an ethical and rule standpoint, it shouldn't be done. So you're asking a guy that's really anti-marijuana, anti-weed, and for all those people that said, yeah, it's good for pain management, I played football from 13 until 30. I never heard a guy say, man, I wish I could smoke some weed to get rid of this pain. The only time I heard guys say smoke weed is when they wanted to get high. And so all of a sudden now that's changed overnight just because all of a sudden there's some new study that came out. I completely call BS on that.
You played for the wrong team, man. It helped us with pain on those sorry teams I played for.
Yeah, because y'all was terrible.
They were. So you really think it's a morality thing, though? I mean, you have it. There's no progressive thought at all in your mind. You really think it's something that, you know, is that bad where you would, you know, rip it out of a kid's hand and punish them at this point? I mean, you don't see any sort of thought process that has changed in the last 20 years or so?
Gio, how many kids you got, Gio?
None right now. I'm 35. Okay. No kids.
If you had a 15-year-old kid that was playing football, would you be okay with your 15-year-old kid sitting in your living room smoking weed?
Well, I mean, 15 seems a little young. I think when guys get 17. To college in the NFL, they can make their own decisions because at that point, I think they're adults.
Gio, I asked you a question and you avoided it.
I didn't avoid it. I said no at 15. No, but we're not talking about 15-year-olds. I'm talking about college football players and NFL players.
Then. Okay, 17 then. Because 17 years old is what I was as a freshman at LSU. So if your 17-year-old son was in the middle of his freshman year at whatever, Duke, and he wanted to smoke weed because he had an ankle injury, would you be okay with it?
If it was going to get him suspended and not play, I would not be okay with it. But if it wasn't, then I'd be totally fine with it because I don't think it's that bad of a thing.
Well, just a difference of opinion. And that's why I think this is such a hot topic around the country.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your honesty. We love talking to you. Were you working out just now? It sounded like you were a little out of breath.
I'm not only was I working out, I'm still working out. I'm at about minute number 35 on this bicycle right now.
Oh, man, look at you.
Oh, wow. There's no way to do an interview and be able to work out. I'd fall out.
Putting us to shame.
Well, I mean, there were a couple of times I thought I was going to fall out in there, but I managed to hold on.
See, we'll smoke one for that pain.
Booger,
hey,
thanks.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, man.
There goes Booger McFarland of ESPN, CBS Sports Radio. Look at you backing down over there, man. He's, you know, I'm the one who's got to fight the weed battle, and you're usually with me on that.
What did I back down?
You didn't see. You were like, oh, we smoked it because we stunk. You weren't like. I mean, we always talk about how weed is a better option for pain.
I'm not going to change that man's mind.
Yeah, but I'm not asking to change his mind.
I stood up for what I believe in and how I see it. I see it totally different than him. I wasn't backing down.
You didn't say anything about it. You made a joke. You were like, mm-hmm. I heard you like, mm-hmm, and him. Oh, he won that one on you, boy. He just put you right to bed.
I mean, you hearing things. You need to go smoke one and chill the hell out.
I'm telling you, you go back. And you were uh-huh, and you were laughing at his take when he said that.
It's funny to me because I don't believe it's a moral issue. That's been established.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I just think you wanted to be buddy-buddy with Booger there, and you didn't want to go against
I'm already buddy-buddies with Booger.
Yeah,
I disagree with Booger. He knows that, and he knows it again.
Okay. All right. I'm glad he had a different opinion, though, on that because it made it a little more interesting. I thought that you were going to pounce. I was like, we got Brian Jones over here. He's going to pounce on Booger. We got something.
Why do I have to always pounce when I have you that can pounce every now and then? You pounce.
Because I've been pouncing all day, man.
I've been pouncing too, damn it.
Yeah, but I started to pounce.
I'm going to pounce through this microphone to choke you now. How about that?
No, I don't want that. I don't want to be choked.
God.
What spawned
it? I just lost another steak dinner.
Pouncing. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
All just because all uh-huhs are not built the same.
It's an endorsement, man.
It is not an endorsement.
You were endorsing that.
Okay, I'm taking all this in, and then you jump and say, well, I think opposite of you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know.
Come on. Now, he played right next to a great one, and maybe I should have said this. He played right next to a great one in Warren Sapp, and we know Sapp was smoking.
Maybe that's why. Are they still friendly, I wonder?
I'm not so sure about that. Yeah. Couldn't tell you.
They seem like different people.
Yeah.
A little
bit. You don't say. You don't say.
Right. Like, if Booger's got that big of a problem with weed as a morality issue, I wonder what, like, hooker haggling. I wonder where he falls on that one. You know? Probably.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with negotiating.
We're coming right back.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Today's question comes from CoolMark72, who says, who's the bigger tool, the NFL uniform checking guy or the cashier checking IDs on people over the age of 50 who are just trying to buy beer?
I like when they check my ID.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, but I like it now.
But there's no way that you could be under 21 years old.
Oh, man, they think I'm under 21 sometimes.
I mean, I could see someone thinking you're under 45, under 40 maybe. I could see like somebody thinking you were 38 or 39. But 20? Come on. That's a good question. Who's the bigger tool? You know, I kind of feel for both of those guys because what they're doing is just the job that they've been told to do. Like the people who check the IDs, they're not checking the IDs because they really think that you're underage. They're checking it because they could, that maybe the place got fined in the past because they didn't check the IDs, or there's a boss looking over them that'll fire them if they don't check the IDs, because it's the law. It really is the law. Everybody should do it, but a lot of people get a pass on it. So, you know, I don't call either one of those people tools. I got to be honest with you.
No.
Doing their job.
Yes, that's it. Those are the rules. As Booger said, those are the rules. Those right? Have to go by the rules.
Oh, man.
Must be crazy.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. Did I read this already or no? I don't think so. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free. And only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Cool Mark also sent in another question on Twitter. He said, BJ, what are your favorite brands of Prosecco? Help a listener out, bruh.
Oh, that's simple. La Marca.
La Marca.
L-A, capital L-A, capital M-A-R-C-A, La Marca.
La Marca Prosecco. Looking
that's
it up
stuff,
right now.
Man.
Oh, yeah, I know that stuff.
Yeah.
I've had La Marca. It's not that expensive.
That's good stuff.
I thought that you'd be drinking more expensive. It is good stuff, but I thought that you'd be drinking more expensive stuff than this.
Well, it's expensive enough. They mark it up. Trust me.
Well, of course they do.
So it gets to be pretty expensive, but that's good stuff. I love the La Marca. Great stuff.
All right. There you go. So cool, Mark. You got two questions answered today. How about that? We mentioned yesterday how Lane Kiffin had a couple of those last chance of you guys, and so apparently it was four in total that he brought in. And I'm sure he would receive criticism on it, especially the one with the Florida State quarterback, who I still forget his name, DeAndre Johnson.
DeAndre Johnson.
I keep wanting to say DeAndre Jordan, but I know that's the basketball player. So I'm sure he received criticism on it, but you know, a lot of these guys, and one of them was my favorite guy on Last Chance U Season 2, was Tim Bonner, who was a Louisville defensive end, then went to East Mississippi, and then went over to Florida Atlantic. That guy, just a great personality. I mean, interesting kid for sure. Definitely a little aloof, a little bit of the ADD, there's no doubt about it. A little bit of a jokester, but there's no doubt that he was a good kid, and I'm rooting for a lot of those guys. I think that's and they're going to a different school next year too. By the way, they're not going to go to East Mississippi.
Right, they're going. I think it's in Kansas.
I think so too.
Dennis was actually talking about this. I believe it's somewhere in Kansas. I think it starts with a P, possibly.
I can look it up.
JC there.
Yeah,
but everyone has been raving about this show and documentary, and you've been number one on the list in that category. But I will check it out, man, in due time.
So we're getting closer and closer to Mayweather McGregor, and we haven't had as many headlines about it though recently. It seems like we had all the stuff early on. And then the press conferences. And then lately, it's just been like Paulie Malignaggi has been like the only story that's been surrounding this. Do you still think that we're going to get a record number of buys on this thing? Or do you think that there's really a chance that it fizzles out and doesn't hit the mark that people expected it to?
I think you're going to get a record number. I think people want to see the spectacle. And while they think they are while they think they can guarantee what the outcome is going to be, you still want to tune in just to see if you're wrong. So it's got two of the best at hyping things. And so you're going to watch for different reasons. And I think they're going to definitely tune in and they'll break records.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. So the Pacquiao Mayweather generated 4.6 million pay-per-view buys. Mm-hmm. So it'd have to beat that one. That's the record one right now. And that was only a couple years ago, of course, in 2015. So does it do better than 4.6 million? I'm going to say no right now. I am. I'm going to say no. And we're going to have Steven Espinoza, the head of Showtime Sports, in studio with us on Friday. So we will we'll talk to him about how things are going, and I'm sure he's going to have a total positive spin on all of this. But I also feel like the pub that they're doing for this, if it was hitting all the marks, would Steven Espinoza be in here on Friday? You know? Does that make any – you know what I'm trying to say here? Like, is Steven Espinoza going to pop in studio with us on Friday – If they think that they're going to do the record number,
will he acknowledge that they will or will not hit it? Is that the question?
No, the question is if you're Steven Espinoza and you're confident you're going to break a record with pay-per-view buys, do you still do promotional stuff the Friday, you know, a week out of the fight?
Yeah, and the problem I've had with it, it seems like though they've been still trying to sell this thing with all the stuff.
Well, that's my point. Is exactly what I'm saying.
Right. So will they continue to do that? Why not? I mean, the closer you get to it, the more promotion you have for it, don't you?
Not usually. I don't know. This seems odd to me. I feel like we're going to be surprised. I don't think it's going to hit the mark. I'm saying it's not going to break the record. We're going to be surprised at how few buys there actually are. That's my hot take of the day on sports. How about that? Thanks to Booger McFarland and his morals, to Kembe Mutombo and his voice, Mikey B, PDB, Brad Heller, Billy Jockalone. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Go to geoandjones.com/audio to listen to the podcast. CBS Sports Radio.